Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Eric.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look back at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies and breaking them all the way down. We are breaking the shit out of Action Jackson right now.
Yeah. This movie's got so much bullshit going on.
Oh, my God.
It's like 90% bullshit, though, and one in like 10% actual movie.
Yeah.
Happening.
Yeah.
It's a wild flick.
I think that's the right ratio, actually.
Yeah.
If you've been following us to this point, we've completely gone off the rails.
Yes. We're still up in our Sweetwater 420.
Yes, exactly. Indeed, yes. Yeah. What's that? Go ahead.
It's late at night, but we're going to finish.
We're going to do
by
this.
By God.
We're going to get
God
there.
God willing. We're going to get there. So, Eric.
Yeah.
Well, first of all.
Yes.
Listeners, thanks for listening. Please follow us on Instagram. Check us out on Facebook, 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the number 6 DOS podcast. On a lot of social media platforms. We're trying to make some shit happen over there.
That's right.
But also shout out to our listeners on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network. A lot of good content going on over there about Schwarzenegger, about Stallone, about action movies in general. That's just rad to be a part of it. So thanks for checking us out there. If you're listening to us there, subscribe to our 6 Degrees feed on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We drop our episodes a couple days early over there. So you can, you know, spoil it for all your friends.
Always.
Totally. So now, Action Jackson, Eric.
Oh, brother.
You get to try to tell people where we're at on this plot, if you can even call this a plot.
I mean, It's dense at this point.
Yeah.
So we got
you don't have to hit every note, just
right.
Like the broadest of strokes.
All right. So Action Jackson hates Delaplane for reasons that are not totally clear.
Delaplane's like the evil car maker.
He's the evil car maker. and Tony, who's Action Jackson's friend, is the one who keys him in on that all of this is happening.
Right. Tony, who died.
Right. And Tony, what died, is telling Action Jackson that this murder that happened at the beginning of the movie and then a dude on a yacht who gets blown up, it's all part of the same conspiracy that's being orchestrated by Delaplane.
Connected murders of auto union guys.
Absolutely. Jackson talks to Delaplane's soon-to-be-dead wife, played by Sharon Stone. She assures Action Jackson that everything is fine, but she mentions the name O'Rooney to him, which is the only thing that has any value.
Sure.
Her entire role is that one name. She dies. Delaplane kills her, frames Action Jackson for the movie. But by this point,
for the murder.
Oh, my God.
The beer is working.
Action Jackson is framed for the murder of Sharon Stone. But by this point, he's already hooked up with Vanity, who is a heroin junkie, who he simultaneously loves and hates. I mean, he's manipulating the shit out of this poor woman.
Yes.
Her apartment is blown up for reasons that we were incapable of figuring out. And now they're on the run.
Uh-huh.
They want to go see a guy named Papa Doc, who theoretically knows something. He doesn't know anything.
He's also dead. He's just a pair of balls.
The hotel owner that they're crashing at this point says, hey, I could have told you that. You should go see this chick D. This amazing, like, Shakespearean monologue occurs in a barbershop where D tells everything that Action Jackson needs to know.
Right.
And, like, basically summed up the entire plot at this point. And so Action Jackson then goes back to the hotel. D is getting heroin from a drug dealer named Mr. Quick, who then Action Jackson throws through a window. They flee. He says, you're going to fucking help me. She says, something. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
He threatens to do a murder-suicide by driving a car into the wall.
I'll kill us both.
I'll kill us both if you don't help us.
Help me right now.
She agrees to under duress. He stops, says, that wasn't so hard, was it? And now they have a big hearty laugh over how silly that was. And I feel like we're mostly caught up at this point.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
This movie is like a whole lot of Sound and Fury signifying nothing.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, there's all sorts of action shit and fights happening that have no bearing on the story.
No.
It's like he goes to talk to someone who doesn't know anything.
Right.
They fight. And then he's in the same place as he was before he went
there. It has no bearing on this movie. Yeah.
Yeah, where we're at this point, I guess, is Action Jackson and Vanity. They're trying to find this guy, I guess, O'Rooney, right? So they're rolling up to the Red Devil Bar.
Which is apparently where O'Rooney's supposed to be.
Where he hangs out, according to D, who somehow knows where Muckety Mucks in the car union like to drink.
Yeah.
So Action Jackson tells Vanity to go in there and seduce O'Rooney, because we need to get him away from Delaplane. I don't get the impression that Action Jackson has any plan whatsoever.
None.
Though. He's just like, it's just get him. Just go in there and get him. It's like that Ghostbuster show where he's like, just get her.
Get him.
That was your whole plan. Just get her. Yeah. So Vanity seems to be deep in withdrawal. She's complaining about all sorts of physical symptoms now. And Action Jackson's like, yeah, I felt that way before. I think they call it love.
What?
He's hurt. Like, her being in the throes of withdrawal from heroin is apparently a turn on for Action Jackson.
Oh my God. This guy is just all over the place emotionally.
So then she thinks this is like the time to ask Action Jackson about his wife. She's like, you were married once, weren't you? Which is a fucking weird question. But she asks him that, and he says, yeah, she left me when my career went to shit.
Yeah, sure. Basically. That's what he tells himself to live every day, right?
No one knows why this is the moment that they've decided to have this discussion.
Mm-mm.
But apparently hearing about like how his ex-wife and how his failing career and all that, like that's turned her on.
So this is a callback because when we watched this, you mentioned like this is just like fucking Red Dawn.
Yeah. Why are we talking about the ex?
Right. Exactly.
And this made her horny though.
Why has this turned you on? Exactly. It's so fucking weird.
He's happening.
Oh my God.
Keeps happening in these movies.
Again, we're at 50% at this point. Like, I am like batting 500.
Absolutely.
On themes right now.
More than that, because in Conan, the young princess hearing about Conan's ex made her horny.
That's right. So this is like another two out of
three. Three for four.
Or three for, this is like a 75% right now. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, this has really made Vanity hot. So she pounces on Action Jackson with this really awkward kiss.
Oh my God.
Like she's kissing him really hard and he's just like a statue.
You had a thought about this, which I think is 100%
true. Yeah, we'll get to it later too, because it seems like Action Jackson just isn't comfortable with, Carl Weathers with screen kisses.
Yeah.
Some reason. It's even more obvious later on. But then she gets out of the car and goes into the bar, and Action Jackson, he's sitting there looking confused, and I'm like, buddy, we're all confused right now. I'd be like, we don't know what's happening. But so Vanity, she goes into the bar, she locates the guy O'Rooney, she throws herself at him. And I'll admit, at this point, I thought O'Rooney was the president of the union.
Yeah.
But it turns out to be someone else. I was like backtracking, like, wait, now who the fuck is this? I had to go back way back and like, oh yeah, he was that guy that was mentioned one time 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, that was my thing too, right? Like I thought it was like, oh, they're finally going to pay off this character that we see like twice.
No, it's someone totally new we've never seen before.
It's yet another character in this movie.
Yeah. So now she tells the dude that Delaplane sent her to get him because Delaplane needs to see him. And the O'Rooney guy, he might be the most gullible character I've ever seen in the history of film.
If Vanity walked up to me and said that, I'd probably go, okay,
I'll go anywhere you whatever. Want. Because he's like, okay, it doesn't seem right, but okay, I'll come with you. So now she walks O'Rooney out of the bar. And we see that that big dude Ed from earlier was watching all of this unfold, and like ominous music starts playing. After, it's like, what was he doing there?
After Ed gets knocked through the door, we lose Ed. Like Ed yeah. disappears. So the question is, has Ed been following them this whole time? Like, do we need to go back and watch the movie and look in the background?
He's in the background looking. Yeah. No, I think assuming if he's not just coincidentally there as a customer, right? Then the only thing that makes sense is if he was tasked with keeping an eye on Arunity for Delaplane.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's any way that he's tracking Action Jackson and Vanity through all this. So, but as the story plays out, we'll see that doesn't add up.
No, it doesn't.
But I don't think that he could have possibly been there as a customer.
Right.
Like this is the most depressing bar I've ever seen.
It is the dive bar of dive
it's
bars.
It's nothing but older people drinking in silence.
Bartenders at dive bars look at this bar and go, well, at least I don't work there.
Right. But so later on, as dawn is breaking, Vanity, she's riding in the car with Arunity to some industrial area. And I suppose off screen, before all this started, Action Jackson must have told her where to take him.
Right, but why? Like, it looked like a concrete factory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It didn't make a lot of sense.
No.
But Arunity's like surprised. He's like, I don't think Delaplane would even be up this early. And he wants to know why we're meeting here and not at Delaplane's house. But Vanity tells him, you know, follow me, leads her into the factory. She leads him up and up and upstairs, and he's complaining all throughout that this is all very strange.
I feel like that this was padding. They spend way too much time on how many stairs they climb.
Yes.
Like, it's for sure. So long. Like, it's like 30 seconds of them just climbing stairs. It is ridiculous.
He just keeps remarking how none of this makes any sense.
The whole time.
Why does he want to meet on the first floor? But yet he keeps following along, right? He points him up to the room at the top of the factory. Like, he's up there. So the dude enters, finds nothing there but Action Jackson up on the catwalk in this dramatic entrance from Action Jackson. Like, he's up there. He comes riding down on a chain.
And it's like it's a really low angle shot. Uh-huh. So like the camera's really, so you see like him come all the way down on this chain. Yeah.
And the dude, well, I'm with Arunity where I'm like, why didn't this happen on the first floor?
Right.
But he's like, Arunity's like, you're not Delaplane. That's a weird thing.
No shit, Sherlock.
I know. Master, you're not Delaplane. So Action Jackson slides down the chain face to face with him. He's like, do you know who I am? And Arunity's like, yeah, you're Action Jackson. And it's like Action Jackson's, his rep in the movie is very strange to me.
It's not earned at all. When people actually know who he is,
I feel like people who should know him
don't,
like Mr. Quick or like the goons in the pool hall.
Yeah.
They don't know him. Mm-mm. And then these other guys who shouldn't necessarily know who he is, they recognize him, like dudes who have no reason to, like the fucking union reps.
I love the idea that this is where the Harvard law degree comes in, like all of the white
collar,
famous
lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. They knew who Action Jackson is because his real action is working the hard work for the DA.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
So Action Jackson asks, what's going on tonight at this party that you got planned for the union president? And Arunity says, Arunity plays it coy, and Action Jackson then just grabs him by the necktie and strong arms him, and Arunity immediately is confessing to everything.
I feel like,
it's like, we're going to kill him. We're going to kill him so I can become president of the union. Like, he gave that up way too easy, didn't
he? So fast. I know.
Oh, shit. You grabbed me by the necktie.
Oh, my God. That was his only weakness.
I don't like that. I don't like when guys grab me by the necktie. I'll tell you anything. So Action Jackson then wants to know who's going to kill him. And Arunity says, you don't want to know. And then he drags it out of him. He's like, you are. Which I don't know. But
I don't know.
At that moment, we hear Vanity calling out for Action Jackson to help. He comes running out. He runs outside. He finds that the Invisible Men are there.
Yep.
They've captured Vanity. He's surrounded. There's like a sniper on a fucking helicopter. Very like Lethal Weapon-ish vibes.
Yeah.
Action Jackson surrenders. There was another invisible man behind him. And I'm like, wait, where did you come from?
So I guess my question is, was all of this like a fucking trap? Like, was O'Rooney in on it from the beginning? Did he know that all of this was going to go down? I mean, I don't understand any of this.
As things play out in the next few minutes, we're going to see that none of this makes any sense.
Nothing.
The only thing you could argue is that Ed saw this happen and he called it into Delaplane.
Yep.
And followed them, like, you know, whatever, like, it told them where they were, and the and the goons, the invisible men, like, all descended on this place.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what happens.
No.
Because we're going to see in a minute. So we'll get there.
Yeah. Okay. Indeed.
Now, later on, after Delaplane apparently had instructed the goons to bring Action Jackson and Vanity from the concrete factory over to his own factory. Because he likes to continue all their crimes in the way that's more incriminating for him.
Yeah, exactly. It's not good enough that this all happens at a concrete factory that he's not associated with.
No, bring him to my factory.
Yeah, exactly. If I'm going to get caught, I'm going to do it on my terms.
Yeah. So he's got Action Jackson there with his shirt off, chained up to like some steel beams in the thing, like he's fucking King Kong or something.
Oh, my God. I mean, like, fucking Weathers is cut. I feel like he asked to be chained up in this way because the man looks like a fucking Adonis in this scene.
Unbelievable.
Like, unbelievable.
We also missed the scene where one of the goons was like rubbing him down with oil because he's all oiled up.
I know. It's like, weird. That was on the cutting room floor. Yeah, exactly. Like, why are you doing this? I don't know. Delaplane has very weird taste.
So Delaplane's there now, and he's finally ready to explain the scheme.
Fucking finally. Like, James Bond, so confused.
James Bond shit, right?
Like, I've never needed a monologue more than this.
So Action Jackson asks, why do you want to take over the Union? Which he says isn't even going to make it that much of a difference to how much money you're making. And Delaplane says, you're right. But making cars is really just more of a hobby for me. Fucking what?
What does that mean?
I have no clue. See, he says, see, my real interest is power.
Yes.
And the AWA is more than just a union. It's a power block. Don't ever underestimate their strength. In 1976, they helped elect a Georgia peanut farmer to president.
Dig it, Carter, man.
Fucking what?
Fucking dig it, Carter.
And Action Jackson's like, what? So you want to be president? And he's like, no. I'd rather be a kingmaker than a king, because real power rests behind the throne.
Ooh, indeed.
I don't know. Indeed. The more he tries to explain it, the less sense it makes.
It's almost like no one has ever asked him, like, why do you want to do this?
Controlling the union as a car maker, that makes sense to
me. Right.
But that's not what I want.
No.
I want the power of the union because it could influence a president. Oh, you want to be president? No. I don't want that either. I want to be the guy behind the guy behind the guy.
So it's not entirely clear what you want, Delaplane.
I feel like the goons are hearing all this and they're like, fucking, we signed up for this. We were working for this guy. He doesn't know what he wants.
I mean, I feel like the other goon is like, yeah, but the check's clear. And like, all right,
fine. That's true. So then Delaplane, he gets to confessing to all the murders.
Yeah. Just immediately.
He's like, well, I had to kill my original partner and the first wife for financial reasons.
Which,
if you say so.
Okay, great.
I feel like there's a story here that makes sense, but it never gets told. Like, we never get that version of the story. He says, again, I killed Sharon Stone because she was jeopardizing my schemes.
Yeah.
Indeed. And then with a smile, he says, I'll probably have to kill my son, too.
Why are you bringing your kid into this, bro?
I'm like, why the convoluted story about the son if he's never going to have any importance?
Right. Exactly. Plot? Like, look, he's only got one arm at this point.
It's literally been torn off
by
Action Jackson.
We know this for a fact.
He ripped it off.
He's in prison. Like, just let sleeping dogs lie, bro. I mean, like, what is going on?
I was just like, well, as a screenwriter, why are you writing in the thing with the son? Why not just, like, you could just say that Delaplane himself had done something and got away with it.
Right.
And and then he got Action Jackson demoted, and that's why he's pissed off at this guy.
Exactly.
But instead, it's like, nah, his son did a thing, and his son, hell, he might kill his son himself because, you know, why not?
Because why not? Yeah.
Yeah. Action Jackson then asks, how do you think you're going to get away with killing the union president? And Delaplane says that he's going to have this black member of the Invisible Men do it, dressed like Action Jackson.
The taxi driver who is...
That guy, yeah. He says, because everyone knows Action Jackson likes to wear a red Henley.
I mean, look, the man knows how to fucking rock a red Henley. I mean, granted.
I can tell you this other guy's not going to fill that Henley out the same way.
But at least it kind of explains why he's shirtless.
I mean, we've only seen him wearing this shirt today. Like, it's like everyone knows that's he loves to wear that red Henley, Action Jackson. He's known for that.
He knows it, right. If you go into his closet and you open the door, it's nothing but a sea of red Henleys.
Like in Last Action Hero.
Yeah, like in Last Action
Hero. The whole closet of the same outfit. 100%. So then Delaplane leans in real close and whispers, and he's like, and to most of my guests, you all look alike anyway.
So it's just like, it's weird how they're making a commentary on racism, but like homophobia is totally fine for this movie.
Well, and this finally, we're getting some like good blaxploitation.
Yeah, I mean, like we get there.
Because the bad guy has to always be a racist.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I feel like, though, I'm not even actually sure if Delaplane is a racist. His girlfriend's black.
Right.
I feel like he's just saying, my friends are racist.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
I'm not. Some of my best friends are racist. Some of my best friends are racist.
Right, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. I know. It's super not clear. But I mean, you were talking about how on the set of Predator, Weathers was talking with Joel Silver about
love blaxploitation.
Blaxploitation movies.
Why do they not make these movies anymore?
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like this movie sits halfway between wanting to be
it's
a
like
legit
mainstream action
and blaxploitation, and it can't decide which side it's on. And then it turns into this squishy middle nonsense.
For sure.
Yeah.
So then Delaplane says, now that people are going to assume that you must have been trying to kill me, Delaplane, as part of your like long-standing feud vendetta with me. The same reason that you presumably killed my wife, Sharon Stone.
Which famously no one is going to believe.
Yeah. So Delaplane then says, you know, and then your body is going to be found in the flaming wreckage of your car. Which is going to be tough because his car is like in a million pieces all over Detroit right now. I don't think that's going to work. But then Delaplane is like, says, you know, the only remaining loose end is Vanity, who's going to die of a drug overdose, but only after I fuck her one last time.
Good Lord.
Which gets a rise out of Action Jackson. Then he says, what do you want from me, Delaplane? And he says, I want you to die.
How dare you invoke Goldfinger, by the way?
Right? That's
how
the total Bond
dare
moment.
Dare you? This movie does not deserve to reference that line.
Yeah, no chance. So then Delaplane leaves with a couple of the Invisible Men goons. And Action Jackson calls out after him, one of these days, you're really going to piss me off. And Delaplane waves goodbye and he's gone.
So I guess Jackson isn't like...
I'm not pissed yet.
He's not pissed yet.
Not quite yet.
Right.
Then one of the remaining goons who's there still says, go to one of the other guys, go get some gasoline because we're about to barbecue Action Jackson alive. And then the mullet man guy, he runs off to get the gas, I guess. But I'm not sure that burning him alive right now is like a good idea.
Right. I mean, because they're going to find... Anyway.
They need to find a body in the burning wreckage
correct
later on, right? Yeah. Like, you just need to burn him up now in
I
the factory.
I feel like you there's so many ways to kill him without leaving a trace, right?
Yeah.
Like, just strychnine, right? Anything in his system.
You just choke him.
Choke him to death. Exactly. Yeah. Right? And then you move his body. It's going to be so much easier.
His body in the car.
Right. It's going to be so much easier to move his body to the car before charring it than after charring
it. I feel like there's going to be a lot of cleanup.
You're making so much extra work.
It's going to be
yourself.
Like a smell. You're going to be carrying, you're going to be moving a charred corpse around.
I mean, you're doing this in the wrong order, guys.
For sure. But so then without waiting for the aforementioned gasoline, this goon lights up the blowtorch. He's ready, I guess, to go to work on Action Jackson. Then we see that big dude, Ed, has somehow he's gone unnoticed up in the rafters of the factory. And this 300-pound, like, mountain of a man is in a business suit, and he's up in the scaffolding, and no one saw him up there.
Nobody.
And then he says, hello, I'm Mr. Ed.
Oh.
And jumps down, and it's like, this is one of the most insane moments in a movie that I've ever seen.
Oh my God. Okay. So what we know about Mr. Ed, we know that he's trying to pay his way through med school, which is why he's working at Delaplane. He's a Muslim, so he's a pacifist, which gives him a little bit of pathos because he's also working as a bodyguard.
Yeah.
We know that he's been stalking Vanity to some extent.
I feel like it's his job, but yeah.
Right, so it's not really clear.
He's very protective of Vanity.
Exactly.
Okay.
And now all of a sudden, despite the fact that Vanity is nowhere to be seen, he's like here.
Yeah.
Like coming to fight for Action Jackson's honor.
Yes.
Right? So like, who is this character? This is... I want the movie about Ed. Like,
he should have been our hero.
Right. He should have been our protagonist. Like. Yes.
But yeah, he screams out, "I'm Mr. Ed," and then jumps down, starts fucking dudes up. He sprays a guy in the face with a paint sprayer.
Yep.
That guy crumples.
Yep.
Then Action Jackson kicks the one dude right in his dick and balls.
Oh my God. So much dick and balls.
Then Ed uses the blowtorch to cut through the chain on one of Action Jackson's wrists. Now, the paint-covered guy pops back up, hits Ed in the back with a metal pipe or some shit. Ed punches him out, shoves him into, like, I guess, some sort of electrical
classic panel. Electrical panel kill.
The dude just bursts into flames. So I'm like, it was really good fire stunt work.
It is actually really
great. But
really
was he,
great.
Like, drenched in gasoline?
It's not clear to me. Like, maybe
that's
he,
not how that works.
Maybe he bathes in petroleum-based, like, shampoo, yes. Like, soap or something. I don't know.
Sure.
So he's just, like, fuck it. Or maybe all of his clothes were polyester.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It could be. Now, the long-haired goon, the mullet guy, he comes back out with a can of gas. And Action Jackson appears to just, like, break the chains with brute strength. It's like, motherfucker, you could have done that earlier.
Right, exactly.
Like, if you break this chain with just your strength?
Yeah.
Okay. But so, Action Jackson, he grabs the blowtorch and tells the guy, chill out.
Which is like, what?
The worst one-liner for guy, you're about to burn a guy and you tell him to chill out.
What the fuck? Are you Mr. Freeze?
Chill out before you burn someone. Right. That's terrible. That doesn't work. He's not good at this.
No.
But the goon just explodes in a ball of flames.
Everybody is doused in gasoline.
I guess because he had a can of gas, so maybe.
All right, okay, all right.
But more excellent stunt work, though.
Yeah, it was.
So now the dude who got kicked in the dick earlier, he pops back up with that wild gun from earlier, the one that the grenade launcher gun.
Yeah.
So he starts shooting exploding grenades or whatever they are at Action Jackson and Ed. As they're running away, dude's firing off nothing but misses. As they're running away, but like huge explosions, explosions.
Again, can never go wrong with practical explosions.
So the guy follows them outside where Action Jackson sort of makes a diversion. He's like, hey, I'm over here. And then Ed punches the guy out. Now Action Jackson, he picks up that gun.
Oh no.
He's like, barbecue, huh? How do you like your ribs? And blows him up. Ugh. And I fucking loved it. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. That's what we're here for. How do you like your ribs?
Oh, God. So many. I mean, just, oh, God.
I feel like, though, this is the time to examine how it is that Mr. Ed fits into this plot. Because if he's not in league with Delaplane.
Right.
Then a lot of what happened just now falls apart. Because how did the Invisible Men find them at this concrete factory?
Yeah, exactly.
Unless Mr. Ed called them.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking when the Invisible Men showed up. Oh, like Ed. Because especially like when
we saw him see them at the bar.
And even the musical sting was like incredibly ominous.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And so then, yeah. And like when exactly... did Action Jackson have the time to turn Ed double agent?
Yes.
Like, when did this happen?
Oh, no, did Mr. Ed just do it on his own?
Right. I don't...
Is he like, I'll go to the Delaplane car factory and climb in the rafters and hope they come here.
I don't have anything else to do
I
on
hope
a Saturday.
After the cement factory, they come here. I'm going to be up here waiting.
It makes no sense. I love the idea... that like this character Ed sort of sees which side of the bread his butter is on. Right. And like, sure. He sees Delaplane is like this motherfucker with like the dye blonde hair. And like, he's clearly up to no good with Vanity. Yeah. And you got Action Jackson here. Who's like, he's a fucking rogue cop, but he's with a heart of gold.
Of course.
Like, I'm going to side with him. Like I understand, but no point in this movie is there any opportunity for Jackson to like make that connection with him.
No,
none
that
whatsoever.
That did not happen.
No, not at all.
So the only way that works out is if Ed, then we don't know why he was at the bar unless he was sort of working for Delaplane, doing what he asked, but then he flipped.
Right. In that moment, like that was the flip moment.
When he says, I got to fuck her one last time and then I'm going to kill her.
That's the turn. That is his final turn.
He's
right?
Like Batman though. He's like chilling out like this.
He loves the rafters. I mean, respect to a man who weighs that much and can get up in those rafters
Tyler
like
the
that.
Hell yes.
Fuck yes.
Okay.
So that's it. That's how we got there. Okay. This is it. That's the explanation.
So I guess later that night they cut to the party at Delaplane's and they're grilling ribs out, which is a great like transition from the ribs one liner.
From the one liner to the ribs. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah.
Now people are milling around the party with one of Delaplane's new cars on display there, which is basically a Pontiac Fiero like a couple little tweaks to it.
I know. It's so fucking stupid.
Also, let's acknowledge this party is going on despite the fact that Delaplane's wife was brutally murdered the night before.
One night before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the remaining invisible men stops Aruni from grabbing the champagne for some reason.
Reasons.
That made no sense to me whatsoever.
No. They don't pay it off. So
then the union president, he's there, he's smiling at Delaplane, the new widower Delaplane. He seems to be in high spirits as he schmoozes with people at the party. Action Jackson and the hoodlum arrive at the party in tuxedos together.
Oh my God.
How do they get tuxedos so fast?
Okay. So all of these people have to have bespoke, like custom fit tuxedos. Yes. Who is making these tuxedos this quickly?
And then the hoodlum is asking, like all of us are, is like, why'd you bring me here? But they walk right past Al Leong unnoticed.
Completely.
Some goon for hire you are, Al. Like your whole job is looking for trouble, I assume.
I assume that he redeems himself when he inevitably goes to work for Hans Gruber.
Sure.
And he does a lot of good work for Hans Gruber before he dies.
So then Action Jackson's invisible man double, the black guy, he's taking his place up in this tree with a sniper rifle. We see the Action Jackson's ex-partner is there for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Why? We don't know.
We don't know. Maybe he's on the dole of fucking Delaplane. We don't know.
If there's some sort of assumption that Action Jackson killed Sharon Stone and he might be trying to kill Delaplane, like maybe he's there looking out.
I guess I could see that. Yeah. Okay.
Then Big Ed and Fats Chino are there also in tuxedos tearing up the buffet.
I mean, if you think that fucking getting a bespoke tuxedo for Action Jackson and the nameless yes. goon is difficult on that short notice, these motherfuckers are big.
Ain't no way Fats owns a tuxedo.
There's no way.
So I like to imagine the four of them walking into the tux shop and being like, we need four of them real quick. We need them right now.
Fucking hell. But yeah, you're right. They go to town on that buffet.
They're crushing the crab legs. So then a guest has come up to complain to Delaplane like there was no valet to park the car. She's like, I was scandalized. Well, there was no one to park our car. I know your wife was just killed yesterday, but we had to park our own cars.
Was that a dig at rich white people or?
Yeah, I was mortified.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So Delaplane then he tells Al Leong and the other invisible man goon to go see what's wrong. Delaplane gets everyone's attention. He invites the union president to join him up on the stage to say a few words.
Yeah.
Action Jackson notices that sniper is in the tree, like up, it's all stringed up with a Christmas lights,
ton
whatever.
Of string lights.
So Action Jackson tells the hoodlum one word instruction, run. That's it. That's all I got for you is just run.
I can't. This character is like a cockroach that you keep trying to squash. And no matter how many times he just emerges alive and unscathed and he is still fucking here.
So Action Jackson tells dude, run.
Ugh.
Guy takes off running. Action Jackson. Then he goes over towards the tree where the sniper is. The hoodlum, he's running across the party, which gets the attention of the union president. And he's basically just like, hey, look at that guy. He's running. The plan worked like a charm.
Perfect.
Because then Action Jackson, he grabs the end of one of the strings of lights and he somehow goes swinging. Because the mechanics of this chain of events,
it's very
mystifies
confusing.
Me.
Right.
But this causes like sparks to explode all around the sniper guy for some reason.
Yeah.
So he misses his shot and he hits the president of the union in the shoulder.
Yeah.
The sniper guy falls out of the tree and he is impaled on this wrought iron fence.
Yeah. Well, at least we know where Sofia Coppola got her idea for the virgin suicides.
It's a nasty way to go. The Action Jackson, he watches this guy as he like breathes his last breath. Then a Rooney just starts screaming out, Delaplane did it! Delaplane did it! It's an amazing line. It made me laugh out loud. Oh, I don't think it was supposed to be funny, but
no, it was not.
Now, the last remaining invisible man goon, he whips out a butterfly knife because that's his thing. He flings it into O'Rooney's heart.
Yep.
Delaplane makes a run for it. He tells Alion, go get the chopper warmed up. I like to imagine that Alion is like also the helicopter pilot.
Oh, yeah. He definitely is flying that chopper.
Yeah, like, for sure.
I don't know what. Okay. I just want to pause for a second.
Yes.
I want to imagine what that interview process was like. Right? Like, uh-huh. What the job posting was on Delaplane's website. But, like, in the person, the classifieds.
The person, yeah. This is in the LA Times.
In the LA Times.
Or the Detroit Free Press.
Oh, the Detroit Free Press, right. Even though this was clearly shot in LA.
Yes. A lot of palm trees.
So obviously
a lot of
shot
palm trees.
In LA.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Detroit Free Press.
Okay.
And Al Young is like, he sees this, like, my God. This is my resume.
This is it for me.
This is the job I've been looking for. Helicopter pilot, goon,
yeah.
Driver. I'm also Asian.
Asian henchman?
Yeah, Asian henchman. I mean,
it's like
fuck.
Willingness to kill a plus. It's like, this
right.
is me.
Right, exactly.
I'm
exactly.
perfect for this.
Unbelievable.
So Al Young, he runs off, but he comes face to face with Fats, and the fight is on. And Al Young's like flashy karate is no match for old ass Fats, who just punches him. He hits a little like foot shuffling,
yeah.
And bam, punches him in the face.
The foot shuffling is clearly a different person.
Oh,
by
absolutely.
The way.
So Al Young then pulls out a pistol, but he gets shot dead by Action Jackson's ex partner, who then says, "Hey, you're Kid Sable, aren't you?" And he's like, "You better believe it, brother." In a movie full of weird moments, like,
you
this
have
a standout.
Just murdered a man.
Hey, you're Kid Sable, aren't
I
you?
I mean, whether or not Leon's character is a bad guy, you have just murdered
yeah.
a human being. Yeah.
So the movie's officially gone bonkers. The hoodlum guy, he's running around. He runs into that last remaining invisible man guy who produces another butterfly knife. And it's like this dude and his endless supply of butterfly knives.
I just imagine, do you remember the band Blues Traveler?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the lead singer, his name I'm not remembering right now.
Oh, yeah.
He had,
big
when
guy.
You would go in concert. Yeah, big guy. When you would go into concert, he had like dual bandoliers of fucking harmonicas in every key you could
Did he
imagine.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's rad.
So we like just whip out like, I need the E flat harmonica right now.
Okay.
I need the B harmonica right now. I imagine that this dude has a similar bandolier of butterfly knives of different shapes and sizes, of different sharpnesses. So he's got a butterfly knife of for every occasion.
I feel like he's got the Amazon like auto shipping.
Oh fuck
butterfly
yeah!
Butterfly knives, like a dozen. Send me a dozen every week.
I agree. I totally agree. I go through them. I need these motherfuckers. Yeah.
So Ed shows up though, and he grabs this guy, and he grabs the knife from him, and plunges it into his chest. And then he says, I think to the hoodlum character,
yeah.
I hope this teaches you that crime doesn't pay. And that is the end of the hoodlum's role in this movie.
He's done. Yeah.
He did nothing.
Fuck all.
He ran across the party and made the guy say, hey, that guy is running over there, which didn't even have any effect on the assassination attempt.
Nope.
So, yeah, that was his purpose in the film, was just to be there.
Glad we wrapped that up.
Yeah.
I know I was on the edge of my seat.
So now, Action Jackson, he gets confronted by his ex-partner, who seems like he wants to arrest him. But elsewhere, we see Vanity. She breaks out a window in the mansion and she's screaming for help from Action Jackson. So then the ex-partner's just like, fuck it, and tosses his gun to Action Jackson. I feel like that line just like sums up the whole movie.
The whole movie. Like, well, this is it. So completely unearned.
Yes.
Everything we know about this ex-partner douche.
Yeah.
Like the fucking protein pickup. I mean, like, this is the guy from the very beginning who were like,
fuck it. Here's a gun. Go get to killing people.
Oh my God. Okay.
So Action Jackson, he jumps into the display Delaplane car that's there. And he drives that shit right into the house and he like crushes the butler with the car.
Oh yeah, that's right. He makes sure to crush the butler with the car.
I mean, all these goons, and like basically every one of them was just dispatched unceremoniously.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you don't need all these goons. This is a goon heavy movie.
It is such a goon heavy movie. That is a great descriptor.
Too many goons. So Action Jackson, he then drives the car up the stairs and down the hallway. Like, thank God for these 10-foot wide staircases and hallways in this house.
So despite the fucking like architectural problems of this house.
Yeah.
I was watching this movie going, how much did it cost to make that happen?
To build this.
Because obviously a car is not going to drive upstairs. Even if geometrically the car could fit on those stairs.
You just think it can't.
It can't do it.
Yeah.
Right?
They cut around it.
They do.
To avoid it. Because, I don't think it's a thing you could show.
No, exactly. So, like, what was it? Like, I mean, anyway, I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Physics is driving me crazy right now.
So Action Jackson, he's reciting that car's stupid slogan, like, hot.
Oh, my God.
Hotter. Hottest, he says. And it's like the callback is not working.
No. We've already forgotten the callback, honestly.
So Delaplane, he's poised to shoot Vanity up with a fatal dose of heroin, I guess. But he decides, I'm going to go see what all the commotion is about out here first. So he opens the door. He sees the car coming at him. He's like, oh, shit. So Action Jackson drives it right into the bedroom as Delaplane like dives out of the way. Delaplane, then he grabs Vanity as like a hostage. And Action Jackson pops out with a gun and they're in a Mexican standoff. Except, like, there's no reason for Delaplane not to shoot him.
No.
There's no reason not to.
Just like one pull of the trigger, this whole movie ends for him.
And Delaplane's like, you still haven't learned your lesson. And Action Jackson's like, well, teach me. Ugh. And like he's taunting him like, let's fight. And
the second time that this has occurred in this movie, by the way.
Why don't we fight each other instead? Right.
It works kind of once.
Yes.
But you go back to this well a second time and you're just asking, why are these bad guys so stupid?
So Delaplane, he goes and he puts his gun down.
He does.
And lets Vanity go. And now there's no reason for Action Jackson not to just shoot him.
Right.
But Action Jackson puts his gun down, and Vanity is like pleading at him, just shoot him.
the only sensible thing she said in this entire movie.
Yeah. So now they start having one of the most boring fights I've ever seen.
Craig T. Nelson does not know how to do karate. No.
It was like a pro wrestling where they would just take turns punching each other. Yeah. Like, I'm going to punch you a couple times, then you punch me a couple times, and back and forth. So the karate double, though, it was like clearly a karate double for Craig T. Nelson.
Oh, yeah, because every time it would cut back to him, he just like sort of looked like clumsy and awkward. It was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, they fight a little bit. Delaplane then seems to get the upper hand, and he rams Action Jackson's like through the car window.
Mm-hmm.
And then Action Jackson screams out like, now you pissed me off.
It took this much.
This was the final straw. You can kill my childhood friend. You know, you can frame me for murder. You can leave me to be killed by your goons. But if you put me through a car window,
that's it.
It's on.
I mean, that was a sexy fucking car. Like, if you break that window, like, I mean, I don't want to be part of that. You're going to piss me off.
So then some upbeat music starts playing and Action Jackson starts moving like really quickly.
Yeah.
Like they sped the film up.
He starts
just beating the shit out of this dude. I feel like that was the Herbie Hancock theme.
Yeah.
Coming in. It was very jazzy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they both then pick up their discarded guns and Action Jackson shoots Delaplane dead. And it was a great fucking kill.
Like it was.
The squib work was
strong.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, like, really flung himself back into this wall pretty hard.
Really, like, fucking went for it. Like, he was going to own it. Yeah.
So Vanity, then she easily frees herself from her binds. She asks, you know, how did Delaplane miss you? And Action Jackson's like, he didn't. And then reveals that he got shot like through his shoulder.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The action movie shoulder shot.
Yeah. It's a flesh wound. It's just a flesh wound.
Then Bill Duke and Biff and Biff's partner come bursting in. They're all apparently very nearby.
Right.
When this all started off.
I mean, honestly, they were doing, okay, here's the truth about Biff and his overly articulate partner. Cops routinely will do overtime, private work, directing traffic for things like churches and high schools and things like. They were clearly doing off the books overtime for this party.
Okay.
So they were there just
go with it.
Right, right. Trying to fill their wallets a little bit. They hear all the gunshots and they're like, fuck, we're cops. We're allowed to go in this direction.
For sure.
Yeah.
Now, Biff says, boy, this is one dead piece of shit car builder. This is a wild line.
Fucking Biff, man.
Bill Duke says, call the paramedics and the meat wagon. I want to report on my desk in the morning. And he immediately promotes him back to lieutenant. Like, on the side.
Yeah.
Yes, in the morning, lieutenant.
Biff, you saw it. Over-articulate guy, you saw it. He can't take it back.
This is how it works.
No backsies.
This is how it works. Vanity then says, will you be with me now that I'm an ex-junkie? And he says, ex-junkie? And she says, cold turkey. You can have me at Thanksgiving. And he says, can I have you any sooner? And like, now Action Jackson just can't wait to fuck her.
Okay.
Wild.
Wild. It's like, there's so many things wrong with this whole scene.
She's gone cold. She's free of her heroin addiction in less than 24 hours since her last fix. Yeah. They start mashing their faces against each other.
It doesn't even look like a real kiss.
They're just smushing their faces against
each other. Yes, exactly.
That's why I feel like it's horrendous. It's one of the worst screen kisses. I wonder, though, if, like I said earlier, I think if Carl Weathers like had an issue with.
Yeah.
Feel comfortable if he's a. I could see you being like, I'm a married guy. This is disrespectful to my wife. I'm not going to like French kiss this woman. We can mash our faces together, but I'm not gonna.
But it's a part of the fucking job.
It's
man.
Just this like, the just, business.
It's the business, right?
And it's vanity. So
I mean, yeah, exactly.
But anyway, then you know, he turned me out by the Pointer Sisters. Fades in. Roll fucking credits.
Motherfucker, this movie's over. I love that we went from the entire, like, it took us an hour to determine if there was a plot.
Yes.
Then we cram the entire plot into like a scene.
Uh-huh.
And then there's action just from the very end. And the entire movie is wrapped up in the span of 30 seconds.
Yes. All storylines were resolved in literally 30 seconds.
Unreal.
From the point that Delaplane got killed to like you're a lieutenant again, she's not on drugs anymore, and you're in a relationship now.
Yeah. That's
was
it.
Like 30 seconds of screen time.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's the most economic use of a screenplay format.
It was the like, let's get this shit over quickly.
Oh
ending.
My God.
I've never seen a movie wrap it up that fast.
No. They were in a hurry. It's like someone needed to pee.
Let's
while
get
they
him.
Were just like, oh my God.
Let's get him out of the theater. Let's get him so we can get another screening started.
I couldn't believe that actually. When the credits started rolling, it happened so fast. It was whiplash.
They didn't give me time to think.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just like, yep, that's it. It's over. All right, get on out of here. You can leave. There will be no encores.
Which I think everybody was expecting, honestly.
Yeah, I know.
Because the movie made three times its budget.
Yeah. That's the movie. It wasn't a failure.
No.
By
that
any
was a success.
It did better business than it probably should have done.
I mean, 100%.
Honestly, for how bad it was, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a $7 million movie and it made like $20 million plus.
Yeah.
It almost tripled up.
Yeah.
But I guess there was no desire for a sequel. Or like you said, there was like people for arguing over who owns the rights
exactly.
for sequels.
Yeah, it was a little bit column A, a little column B. Yeah.
The bummer of it, though, is that Carl Weathers just never got another shot.
No.
At being a leading man, a hero in a big budget action movie.
Yeah, and it's
not his fault this movie sucked.
No. I mean, the script was incomprehensible at every level.
It was nuts.
I mean like the script was incomprehensible, the editing was incomprehensible. Every aspect of this movie, like You sent me the draft of the script, and the script was awful.
Yeah.
But even if
it was no better. That's why I'm like, it's not, they didn't ruin it. It was ruined before they started.
Right. But even if the script was a masterpiece, it could have still been fucked in editing. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like he had no hope, and it just sucked that because like the whole movie was resting on his shoulders. Like mm-hmm. you look,
it was like, this is your big shot.
This is your shot.
You've been doing shit for 10, 15 years now, and we're finally going to let you be a lead.
Yeah.
And this is what he stuck with.
Oh man.
This movie, though, had the feeling like of bitches being slapped together, right?
It did, yeah.
Like, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Basically, Carl Weathers and Joel Silver were on the set of Predator talking about how much they liked blaxploitation movies.
Yeah.
And how there hadn't been a big blaxploitation movie, like, in a long time. Why don't we do one? And then less than a year later, this movie is in theaters.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know if that's either... Right. Someone on the set of Predator came up with the title.
Yeah, an Australian crew member. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Action Jackson. They're like, holy shit, that's perfect. So then the director was like the second unit guy on Predator. And it's just like, I feel like it just came together. Who wants to go do this movie right now?
Over half the cast of Predator was in this movie. Right.
I thoroughly suspect that they took some script that was lying around and were like, let's retrofit this thing and turn it into Action Jackson.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that was very common in for action movies back then, especially like sequels.
Yeah.
Like I think Die Hard 2 was just another story, another script.
So was Die Hard 3.
And they're like, what if we just made it a John McClane story?
Yep.
Like let's just rewrite it and make it John McClane.
Yeah.
And both those movies were fine.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I even think rumor has it that Die Hard 1 was like used a lot of elements that were supposed to be in Commando Part 2.
Really?
Of like,
oh, interesting.
That he's trapped in a building and people are trying to kill him and his daughter.
Die Hard, the story of Die Hard, I mean, you know, it is like that's a whole other thing. We could do an episode just on how Die Hard went from a novel that Frank Sinatra wanted to turn into a movie to what it is now. Like that's a whole other podcast.
So I think either they retrofitted some script that they had lying around, or they must have commissioned someone to like give us a script in 2 weeks.
Yep. Yep.
Like no make edits. It's called Action Jackson and it's an action. It's a blaxploitation ish action movie. That's what you've got to go on.
Yep.
And give us something and it was a big rush.
I think like if someone's like you have to put a money down, I would go with that. That's what I think
the
happened.
Second that it was a original thing, but it was just written incredibly fast.
Here's what I think. I think Joel Silver and Carl Weathers, they spitballed this idea and then the crewman mentioned Action Jackson and they're like, yes, we want to do this. We want to do this quick. Because Predator's going to pop off. We know it's going to be big.
Yeah.
Right?
And got another Carl Weathers, Joel Silver movie.
Exactly. And so they like, okay, which screenwriter in Hollywood who is just begging for a paycheck? Who's not working right now?
Yeah.
You have 2 weeks to deliver us an entire script. Here are the keywords that you have.
Action Jackson. That's
Carl
the main
Weathers
thing.
Starring.
Yeah.
Like, you know, cop drama, right? Whatever, like. Carl Weathers.
Give us
Joel
like
Silver.
A Beverly Hills Cop meets
meets
some Schwarzenegger movie.
Exactly.
And it's blaxploitation.
Exactly. And that was it. Like and like some screenwriter who was just like happy to have a paycheck was like, I'll give him a first draft.
I can do that.
Yeah.
I underbid everyone else
exactly.
for this job.
Right. I'll give him a first draft. I'll at least get a credit. I'll get my fucking WGA certification.
Yes.
Right. And then I would love the idea of that screenwriter sitting at the premiere watching this movie going, they fucking made a movie out of my first draft.
Yes. They did no edits.
Oh my
Holy
God,
shit.
This is exactly what I wrote.
Now, what I will say for this movie, though, is I think it's kind of aged well.
It kind of has. I love this movie. Okay, full disclosure, we bagged on it really hard.
Yeah.
We really did.
Yeah.
I had so much fun watching this movie.
I think it sort of now, watching it now, it plays like a parody of the genre.
Exactly.
Though I do not think that was the intention. No. That they had at the time of making it.
Yeah, it was straight. Like, this was not a satire.
And now I feel like, oh, yeah, it's so cliched that it kind of works like what they were trying to do with Last Action Hero.
Yep.
But I don't think that was the case in 88.
But this,
you know,
this
30 years later, it's like, oh yeah, yeah, no, this is rad.
But this is why like movies like Sharknado don't work, because they are made intentionally to be bad.
Yeah.
But there's so much earnestness. You can tell that they were trying to kick off a new action franchise with this. And it just did not work.
That's why I like The Room.
Yeah, The Room.
Because he thought he was making a good movie.
Right. I mean, same with Plan 9 from Outer Space.
We're playing this thing is serious.
Yeah, right. I mean, Ed Wood, Tommy Wiseau, and whoever this fucking guy with an X in his last name was.
Baxley.
Baxley, yes.
Hey, get old Baxley.
They weren't trying to make a bad movie. They were trying to make something good. And it went off the rails. And it's the earnestness, it's the genuineness of it that you can watch the movie, bag on it, and then just like still absolutely love it. Oh yeah,
it's fun though. It's a fun time.
It is. It is an absolute fun time. Like I would like, I'm going to show this to everybody who is going to sit down and be willing to watch this for 90 minutes.
No, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun and in a weird way. It's got a lot of laughs, got way too many characters.
Way too many characters.
But yeah. That's Action Jackson.
That's Action Jackson, yeah.
It was a footnote in the year of 1988. I went to Box Office Mojo and checked out what else was popping off in 88. So the highest grossing movie of the year was Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Okay, all right.
You know.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Rain Man was
that's
number
a big
two.
One. Fuck.
And Coming to America.
Damn, those are big fucking movies. Yeah. Wow.
So and then Big was out, the Tom Hanks flick.
God
I love
damn.
Big.
Yeah, Big's great.
Twins was up there. Arnold.
88. Twins was 88? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Shit. Crocodile Dundee 2 made a ton of money.
Okay. I saw that in theaters, and even then I hated it.
Oh. Okay. Agree to disagree. No, it's a bad movie, but but it's still fun to watch.
Yeah.
Die Hard obviously was a big hit that year.
Yeah, it was huge.
And Stallone that year put out Rambo 3, which did not do huge business, but I mention it because it's Stallone.
Yeah.
But
88, big, big year. Wow.
Big year, a lot of interesting movies. Not, for me, not as big as maybe some of the others that we've mentioned, but, you know.
Yeah.
I Big and Twins alone, like, I love both of those.
Yeah.
And Crackle. And Die Hard is probably the best. Like, look, first of all, I don't know what won Best Picture for that year. Probably, I guess it was Rain Man, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, it's...
Didn't Rain Man win Best Picture? But Die Hard, I assure you, was the best movie that came out that year.
The Last Emperor, actually.
Oh, well, shit.
Yeah, which was fucking huge as well, actually. Yeah.
But if you're going to sit down and watch The Last Emperor or Die Hard...
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to choose Die Hard every fucking time.
That movie's got more staying power.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but action movies, they don't get a fair shake.
No.
Probably because of movies like Action Jackson... sullying the good name of action movies.
Oh,
but no,
we still love it though.
No, we did it. Look, Carl Weathers, he's an icon of the genre. He'll always be Apollo Creed and Dylan. He'll always have that fucking handshake with Arnold in Predator.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And the comedy shit. He was just an all-around good dude, so I'm glad we had the impetus to want to talk about Carl Weathers because he's a legend for the action genre.
I grew up with Carl Weathers. Like, I've known him since I was, like, fucking 8 years old, right? Like, him, I mean, and this is the nice thing about being a kid is you don't understand, like, stars and co-stars.
Uh-huh.
You just see people in movies, right?
Yeah.
And I saw Carl Weathers in movies as I was growing up, and he was fucking great.
He was great in everything we saw him in, because we never saw this.
Right, we never saw Action Jackson.
We saw Rockies, and we saw Predator.
Yep, exactly.
And like, this dude's fucking great.
He's amazing, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I grew up loving him just as much as I love Schwarzenegger, just as much as I loved, like, fucking all of those action
stars. Yeah, any of them.
Yeah.
Any of them. He was every bit the match for any of those guys.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, like, it was, you know, I will say it's actually kind of a pleasure to see Action Jackson as an adult.
Yeah.
Because if I wasn't able to watch this movie through the lens of everything that I know now, I feel like I would have hated it. But watching it now and just like being able to enjoy it for what it is, I like it way more than if I had seen it as a kid.
I feel like it would be easy to dismiss this movie.
Yeah, exactly. There's actually really a lot to love about this movie. And, you know, we don't talk about movies we don't love. Like, we don't do movies we don't love.
No, I love the parade of familiar faces that this movie was. Like, beginning to end, it was like everybody that we've ever seen in every action movie that we loved.
Yep.
In one place at one time. I love that.
Always.
That alone for me was like, this is like, it's like what Last Action Hero was trying to be.
Yep.
It's like a spoof almost of the action movies with all the familiar henchmen.
Yep. Absolutely.
We needed Gary Busey in this, but he was missing. He could have been something.
Gary Busey. Playing. He could have been. Well, I was going to say he would have been great as Tony.
Who was? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He would have been good as Tony, the man. For sure. Informant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's a rad movie.
Yeah.
I'm happy to have seen it and obsessed over it now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now I can put it back on my shelf.
Yep.
And sort of pick it up again in a year
Show
or something.
Show it to friends when we're drunk. It's
absolutely.
Like 1 a.m. We're not ready to stop drinking. Yes. We're not ready to go home.
Absolutely.
Fuck it. Let's put on Action Jackson.
I'm here for it. So thank you all for coming on the journey with us. We know it's been a long one.
It's been a good one, though.
This is, I know, for such a short movie, there was just so much to talk about.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. Then our next movie's a complete departure from this, though.
Yeah, we're going to mix it up a little bit. It might have been about the same year. It was right around
the
same time.
It was close. I don't want to spill anything right now,
don't
though.
Don't give anything away. We're just going to say it's a little John Carpenter-ish.
I'm excited.
Okay, spoiler alert. All right, but until then, dear friends, keep yourselves safe. Have a good, happy, healthy fucking year if you can.
Hell yes.
And we'll be back.
We will be back.